Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Today on Route 51, we feature a live in-studio combined debate with the candidates for Wisconsin's 85th Assembly District, which centers on the city of Wausau, and the 86th Assembly District, which stretches from the Wausau area on the east to Marshfield on the west. I'm Glenn Moberg. All five candidates are with us today for the 85th Assembly District. Democrat Mandy Wright, a former public school teacher who represented the district for one term, serving on the Small Business, Agriculture, Education, and Consumer Protection Committees. And Republican Pat Snyder, the outreach director for Congressman Sean Duffy and a former radio talk show host. He was defeated by Wright in the 2012 election. Wright was defeated in 2014 by Assemblyman Dave Heaton, who chose not to run again. For the 86th Assembly District, we have Republican incumbent John Spiros, who was first elected in 2010. Spiros served in the Air Force and worked as a police officer. He is currently a vice president for a Wisconsin-based trucking company. He's the chair of the Ways and Means Committee and vice chair of the Committees on Labor and Transportation. Nancy Stensel is vice chair of the Marathon County Democratic Party. She works in community treatment at North Central Healthcare and in the prevention of domestic violence. She's been endorsed by the AFL-CIO and other labor organizations. She was defeated by John Spiros in 2014. And independent Michael Tauschek is a farmer and retired electrician who studied business administration at Lakeland College. This is his first foray into public office. We're going to ask our five candidates a series of policy-oriented questions and give them about a minute to respond, followed by an open-ended discussion period. If you'd like to be part of this process and ask the candidates a question, you can give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. Again, that's 1-800-780-9742. Or if you put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, I'll try to get to it and read it live on the air. And we ask that you please don't single out any particular candidate with your question. We're looking for general open-ended questions so that they apply to everybody. Well, we want to thank all of you for being here, first of all, and we're going to start with a general question for all of you. Just tell us a little bit about yourself, why you believe you would be the best candidate to represent your district, and why you're running. We'll start with Mandy, then go to Pat, then John, Nancy, and Mike.
Thank you very much, Glenn. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having all of us. I'm running because I know that the issues are so important to this district. As a teacher and a mother and a member of this community my whole life, I've seen our economic situation decline. I know that we need good family-supporting jobs. A whole lot of people are working really hard and can't get ahead. We absolutely need quality, affordable health care, and we can do that by accepting the federal funds, the taxes that we've already paid, which Governor Walker refused, which is now at a cost of $900 million of our tax dollars that we don't have offsetting the cost of health care. I also feel very strongly that we need to make sure we have good, strong public schools, affordable college, student loan debt relief, make sure that we invest in our young children. And these are all issues that affect people that I talk to every day. I know that I can do a great job because I'm from here. I've already served. I have the experience to make things happen.
Pat Snyder.
Thank you, Glenn. I'm envious of all your equipment from the days I was on radio. You got a pretty nice setup here.
Thank you.
Well, I, as outreach director the past couple of years, it's given me even more experience in reaching out to city officials, to counties, townships, organizations, individuals themselves. And the one thing that I think stands out is the fact of the matter that we are still a very high tax state. And that's one of the first things everyone says when I'm at the door is talking with the voters. And especially in Wausau, I know the property taxes are very high in the city of Wausau. I think one of the areas is that we need to help expand the economic development so there's a bigger tax base here in the city of Wausau, and we do that with jobs. And another thing we talk about at the doors about getting those jobs is the fact of the matter that a lot of the problems we have in our county right now and city is dealing with some of the drug addictions, opiates, heroin, even meth now making a comeback. It's tearing up families, individuals, and affecting our job market as well. So we do need to put more resources into the treatment as well as mental health services that are sparse. And then public education is huge. We need to make sure that we increase funding for K through 12 education. And I've already made a stance that if it doesn't, the next budget doesn't include the increase for K through 12 education, then I won't sign it.
Pat Snyder, let's move on to the 86 Assembly District. John Spiros, you go first.
Thanks, Glenn, and thanks for having me on. Just want to give a little background. I was elected to the City Council in Marshfield in 2005. Through 2016, one of my main reasons for running had to do with taxes and trying to keep taxes low. We're a very high state for taxes, and that was one of my big issues. I ran for election in the 86th when Senator Petrosky moved over to the 29th and was elected in 2012. I'm also a full-time executive, like you mentioned, in the Marshfield area in transportation. So I see what happens on a daily basis from the economy to jobs and things like that. This last session and the session before, I had over 24 bills signed into law, and most of those bills being bipartisan. One bill that is close to home here is a CPR bill. Been endorsed by Senator Petrosky. I've worked hard with him, and I look to focus on education, continue with education, jobs, keeping taxes low, and then the transportation infrastructure is important.
And we move on to Nancy Stensel. Nancy?
Well, I got into this race because I firsthand saw how good jobs can raise a family out of poverty, because mine was one of them. And my later in life education also led me to a career in which I was able to sustain my family after a divorce. And I want that for everybody in Marathon County. Lately, we have seen how people are working harder and harder and falling further and further behind. We need to raise the minimum wage. We need to look at some of our sources such as WEDIC that are very unaccountable, and I think they need to start helping the small and the medium businesses more so that we can do things to sustain families, such as raising the wages, helping with child care credits more, and just helping our small businesses and making sure that our businesses are being held accountable so that money is not going outsourcing jobs and things of this nature. We need to address health care. That affects everybody. And I know recently Citizen Action has been working more closely with insurance companies and holding them to the fire on making affordable health care for people. And this state does need to take the federal monies that are out there to help our families.
And let's move on to independent Mike Taushik. Mike?
Yes. Thank you, Glenn. Thank you, Wisconsin Public Radio, and all the listeners out there. About myself, I'm a farmer. I cash crop about 175 acres in the town of Auburndale in Northwood County. I worked 35 years. I retired 2 years ago as a maintenance electrician for a paper mill down in Wisconsin Rapids. And why I'm the best candidate? Because I believe as an independent, I'm going to be able to work on both sides of the aisle. This partisan politics where both political parties go into their closed caucus and decide whichever political party has the majority, decide how they're going to pass the legislation, what the legislation's going to involve. And I believe that system is broke, whether it be on the state level or on the national level. So I decided I'm going to run. I've never ran for office. And as an independent, I believe the working on both sides is the important part. Why I'm the best candidate? I have a rural background, the farm. I have a labor background. I was a 35 years union member. I was my labor union president for 3 years. And in that position, I negotiated three different contracts with three different employers. And that taught me that compromise is the only way we're going to get anything done. And that compromise part has not happened, in my opinion, in the Assembly or in Wisconsin. The issues I want to work on are transportation budget. I believe it's broke when the state is borrowing $850 million in the last two-year budget. We cannot continue to borrow our way out. K-12 funding is another issue that I have concerns with, but I want to thank you very much.
And we do have a phone call from Dan in Dover. Dan, you're on Route 51.
Yes, I'd like to ask the question of each candidate, who plans on taking this job as a full-time job and not a part-time job?
All right.
They discontinue their other jobs to take this on as a full-time job.
All right. Thank you, Dan. Now, this is a general question. I don't think we need a debate session for this, so we're just going to go through the same order again. We'll start with Mandy Wright from the 85th District.
I'm currently teaching half-time, and I've already arranged to leave my position and make sure it's adequately fulfilled.
Pat Snyder?
I'm on unpaid leave from Congressman Duffy and would go full-time and leave that position.
John Spiros?
Well, since 2005, I've worked full-time in my own job as well as in the state or the city, and I think I've done a great job, and I'll continue to do that.
Nancy Stensel?
I would definitely be leaving my full-time job. I do not want any conflicts of interest like what I have seen out there.
And Mike Kowschik.
Yes, I'm going to go full-time. I have a farm. I cash crop 175 acres. But when the work needs to be done on the farm, I would hire it done, whether it be planting or harvesting or spraying. So, yes, if I'm elected, 100% this will be my full-time job.
All right. Let's move to the first question. It deals with jobs and the minimum wage. The argument for raising it came in an article this past week in The Hill, which noted that although the economy is improving, 42% of the workforce still makes less than $15 per hour. And in a consumer-driven economy like ours, the article says it puts a drag on the ability of businesses to thrive, grow, and hire. Yet critics say raising the minimum wage would hurt small businesses and make them less likely to hire workers. What's the best way to attract and retain good-paying jobs in central Wisconsin? And would an increase in the minimum wage be helpful or harmful in that effort? We're going to start with the candidates for the 86th Assembly this time, and we'll start with Nancy Stensel.
Well, I definitely think we need to raise the minimum wage. And I'm not saying that we should, raise it overnight. It needs to go up in increments. And I would like to look to WEDIC instead of giving away millions of dollars in to corporations and unsecured loans and things like that, if they would just come back and help with the small businesses and the medium-sized businesses. And maybe there could be credits that would offset raising the minimum wage. It is very, very important. Our minimum wage has gone up, a dollar in the last 30 years, and you look at how inflation has gone up. I feel that we need good workplace supports. Education is key. We need to work closer with our area businesses to find out what their needs are and to satisfy those needs as well.
And John Spiros.
It's a great question. It comes up probably every time we're down there. And I mentioned this a number of years ago, is that if we do increase the minimum wage, I think it should be indexed to inflation. I think you get government out and allow the indexing to take over. I think that from an economy standpoint, we always want the economy to do well. And I think that's really what drives wages right now. In Wisconsin, 68% to 69% employment, our highest ever. And our unemployment's down to 4.1, and that's much lower than the national average. So those are two big things. And then the businesses that I've really visited, I haven't visited a business yet that's told me that their starting wage was at minimum. A lot of those are much higher. And I know that what I pay my employees is much higher. So, again, I started as an entry-level job a number of years ago, $1.90 an hour. So I think they're always going to have those. But I have no problem if we were to look at something from an indexing standpoint.
And let's move to the independent candidate, Mike Tauschek. Mike?
Yes. I also would favor an increase, but not the $15 an hour that number is being circulated out in the public. Something in the neighborhood of $9 to $10 would be reasonable. Some businesses have told me that they could never survive paying their employees $15 an hour, and they would like to. Pretty much everyone has told me, the businesses said, we would love to pay it, but it's not economic. It doesn't make where they could survive. And I want to agree with John. Once we get this figure that everybody can agree on, whether it be a $9 to $10 range, then we tie it to the cost of living, consumer price index. But I also want to encourage people that are in these minimum paying or lower paying jobs, that the skilled trades, which I was part of, they're begging for people right now. And a lot of these are just a 1 or 2 year associate degree. And I want to encourage the listeners out there, the younger listeners, that there are tremendous jobs out here that are going unfilled in the skilled trades, the welding, the carpenters, electricians, the plumbers, iron workers, and that they should look into that.
And let's move to the 85th District. Pat Snyder, we're going to start with you this time.
There are approximately 600-plus jobs in manufacturing here in Marathon County that were open as of a couple of months ago. They pay anywhere from $12 to $16 an hour starting. We need to connect the people that are looking for positions, because when I talk to folks at like Major Industries, Line Tech, Green Hack, they say not all of these positions need training, need the skilled training. They will train on the job. They just need consistency and showing up for the position and accountability, and the rest will take care of itself. Now, when you're a small business, a lot of times you – in a small business, people know this as well as the larger businesses. You do have a budget, and budgets include 80% of it, your payroll for the people. When these get elevated up, then it makes decision time. Do you raise your prices? Do you cut back hours? I really would like to take more of the restraints off businesses with regulations and rules and allow them to expand both brick and mortar as well as jobs.
And let's move to Mandy Wright from the 85th District.
Well, I served in the Assembly. I was on the Small Business Committee, and I proposed a bill called the Angel and Early Stage Seed Tax Credit, which would definitely help our small businesses get up and running. And the fact is, right now, we are last in startups in the nation here in Wisconsin. So Governor Walker's jobs agency has not been successful in making sure that our small businesses are supported and we revitalize our economy with those creative jobs. I do think we need to raise the minimum wage, especially when we look at the Alice report, which was just recently released in Marathon County, telling us that 42% of our working families are living in poverty. That is the same amount of children that we see across the state attending our public schools, living in poverty. If we want families to have independence, they must have the means to independence, and a full-time job needs to pay the bills. It would take care of a lot of the issues that we see in our community, including housing, transportation, and frankly, the drug and heroin issue.
We're going to open it up to a general discussion period here. If you want to comment, just raise your hand. And I'd like to open it up to the idea of job creation in general. What do you think we need to do to bring good-paying jobs and keep them in central Wisconsin? Is broadband part of the solution? Anyone want to jump in? John Spiros.
A couple things. One thing is, and both opponents indicated this, and that is with the skilled labor, fast forward grants. Businesses can go out there and put in for those fast forward grants. That's doing a great deal for bringing in the skilled laborers to make that great wage. One of the other things is we have the rural initiative, and I'm part of that as far as 23 other legislators and trying to work on STEM. For the schools, science, technology, engineering and math, as well as doing some things from the standpoint of bringing in our physicians and teachers into the rural area. But broadband, I would agree with you. I know they just had a committee meet on broadband this summer. The village of Weston, the town of Weston, both put in for broadband grants. Both were given those. And I think it's one of those things as a state, for us to move forward, technology is a big thing, and that starts with broadband.
Anyone else?
Absolutely. I think the most important thing is that we maintain a high quality of life. Everyone I talk to who moves here says, oh, I moved because it's, there's Lake Wausau, there's Red Mountain, there's so many great things here. You have strong public schools. But the fact is that we're defunding our public education at a dangerous rate. So we need to invest in education. We need to invest in broadband and infrastructure. We need to make sure that our roads are paid for so people don't continue to see these fees, which are hidden taxes. We need to support a creative economy, making sure that our young professionals are excited and invested. And that comes with relief from early childhood education, costs. So many families are really struggling from that. Investments in higher ed, so we get people who are well-trained and have great ideas. And reducing student loan debt would be a great stimulator for our economy.
Anyone else? That was Mandy Wright from the 85th District. Michael Tauschek.
Yes. Broadband is part of the infrastructure that I consider the state lagging on. It's no different than the transportation issue, or that it is part of the requirement of the state of Wisconsin, or any state, is infrastructure and then the K-12 public education part. Getting back what I said earlier about the skilled trades, if a business wants to expand or if they want to move into the area, they are going to look, what is the labor force, and is the labor force trained to come into these jobs? And we have lacked from probably 30, 40 years, the skilled trades. We are not pushing this hard enough, in my opinion, in the public schools. I consider a four-year apprenticeship equal to a college degree, and I have both of those. I have a four-year apprenticeship as an industrial electrician, and I have a college degree, a four-year college degree in business administration from Lakeland College. I consider both of those equal, and I believe this is the part that we need to address, that we need to give more credit to these skilled trades and job creation. If we have these skilled trades and the four-year degree individuals, we will create jobs.
Pat Snyder?
I believe that we need to start young. We took a huge hit in 2008 with the recession that came in. Our population base decreased immensely here in the 85th and 86th District. It's affected our university with the enrollment. Schools are down a bit as well with student population. But, one thing that's really impressed me has been the heavy metal tour that the county puts out. Middle school kids get to go out into the factories. Light manufacturing and IT, I think, are the big goers as far as growing this community and this tax base. But I think we need to go on beyond the heavy metal tour. Let's get an ag tour that takes these middle school kids and elementary kids to farms. Let's take them into the hospitals and give them like a science tour to spur their entrepreneurship and to give them reasons why not only their career direction, but hopefully be able to stay right here in our area.
And Nancy Stensel.
Yes, well, I think education is key to everything that is out there, and we need to properly fund our public schools and our public schools first. And so many of our rural schools especially are hurting. I believe there's one of our rural schools out there that is now going to be trying for another referendum just to maintain costs of operation. And I think we really need to be good stewards of those tax dollars. But in order to be a successful community, we need to have the grants out there for broadband expansion, especially for rural. It is the price of doing business out there. We want our communities to grow. And without broadband, that's not going to happen. The GOP had voted against many of the expansions on that. And again, raising the minimum wage, because when people have income to spend, they will spend it, and that's what's going to grow our economy.
Well, you mentioned education, and that's where we're going to pick up after this short break. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to a live in-studio debate with the candidates for Wisconsin's 85th and 86th Assembly Districts. For the 85th, Democrat Mandy Wright and Republican Pat Snyder. For the 86th, incumbent Republican John Spiros, Democrat Nancy Stensel, and Independent Mike Tauschek. If you've got a question for a guest, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. Make it a general question that applies to everyone, or you can put a question on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I'll read it live on the air. We'll be back after this short break.
Support for WPR comes from Wisconsin Dells, indoor water parks and theme parks, dining, and Halloween happenings. More is at wisdells.com and on the Wisdells To Go app. Wisconsin Dells, the water park capital of the world. Support also comes from Christine Bremer-Moogley of the personal injury law firm Bremer & Trollope, committed to protecting the rights of accident victims throughout Wisconsin. Bremer & Trollope, because the right results matter most. Bremer-Law.com.
We're back on Route 51 with our in-studio debate with the candidates for Wisconsin's 85th and 86th Assembly Districts. I'm Glenn Moberg for the 85th, Democrat Mandy Wright and Republican Pat Snyder. For the 86th, incumbent Republican John Spiros, Democrat Nancy Stensel, and independent Mike Taushik. All five of you either list public education as your top priority or one of your top priorities. Our local public schools have been hit by declining state aid and the inability to raise money without a referendum. The state is supposed to pay for two-thirds of local public school costs. Funding is well below that. And then there are vouchers. According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Wisconsin is expected to spend almost $245 million on private school vouchers for the upcoming school year. That's up almost $15 million from a year ago, driven by double-digit enrollment increases in the Racine and statewide programs. And finally, has Act 10, which took bargaining power away from teachers' unions, been helpful to school districts in balancing their budgets? How do we best address the issue of funding for our public schools, and where do you stand on vouchers? We're going to start with Mandy, then go to Pat, then Mike, John, and Nancy. Here's Mandy Wright from the 85th Assembly District.
Thank you very much, Glenn. So serving for 10 years as a teacher, as well as serving on the Education Committee and Rural Education Task Force, I really had fantastic insight into what's happening with education in Wisconsin, and it's deeply disturbing. In Rosholt, they have lost a third of their funding for the school district within just since 2010. In Wausau, we've had to pass referendum, and the costs are being borne by local taxpayers just to keep the same level of education standard. So the money being siphoned away, this $245 million being siphoned away for vouchers, is very damaging. It's making it so that we have larger class sizes, fewer resources for kids. And frankly, if a kid goes to a voucher school, lots of times they are not serviced appropriately. They don't need to follow regulations for federal special ed requirements. They don't need to accept all children. They don't even need to do background checks so sex offenders can't get hired in their schools. We need to make sure that we invest in the public system so that all kids have great education. As far as Act 10, I think the most damaging thing has simply been the attack on teachers, which frankly was led by my opponent when he was a conservative radio talk show host. It has deeply hurt the morale of teachers, and many are leaving the profession.
And we move to Pat Snyder of the 85th District.
Well, education is extremely important, and that's why I want to see an increase in K through 12 education. In the 85th District, which I am focused on, talking with the people at the doors, they are pleased with our public school systems, but they also know that more resources are needed, especially in the classroom that, you know, affects the kids that are having some emotional problems. There's a lot of single families out there. There are kids that are in stressful environments, and it's taken into schools. And I think we need an increase in resources to be able to help the teachers in the classroom and counseling into these schools for these children. Those are some of the areas. When it comes to the voucher program, I look right here to the 85th District, and we have three parochial schools, I believe, that would accept it. The legislative rules, you have to be earning less than $45,000 a year to be able to apply for that and to be have that voucher. I do believe that the parents and the children should have that right, if they're under that $45,000 level, to make that decision. So I think the money follows the students. But in the same sense, I don't want to see the public schools crumble down. And when it comes to Act 10 and that, I do think that we've seen a lot of benefits from it. And my daughter is a fourth grade public school teacher, so I don't think I'm a negative influence there.
Let's move to the 86th Assembly District. That was Pat Snyder from the 85th. And we'll move to independent Mike Taushik. Mike?
Yes. The two-thirds cost was came from Governor Thompson, and it was eliminated or taken out of the budget in 2003. Today it's 62.3%, I believe. My feelings on K-12 education is the revenue caps are causing all this problems. And the revenue caps were put in way back in Governor Thompson's administration because they committed to the two-thirds funding of the public education. My philosophy is we need to give more control back to the local school boards. They're the ones that are responsible for the individual schools. I also believe we need to adjust the revenue caps for the environment that the local school boards are facing today. At least allow them to increase the rate of inflation, whether it be 1% a year or 2% a year, whatever the rate of inflation. The present administration in Madison, the Governor Walker, he is definitely going after the public sector employees. And I've worked in the private sector and for my whole life, but I believe whether it be the public sector or the private sector, 95% of the employees go to work every day trying to do the best job they can. So I don't believe as a state that we can afford both the public and the private, paying for both public and private part of the education process.
And let's move to Republican John Spiros. John?
In the last budget, I voted against the governor's budget that as far as not funding schools and voted for $200 million to be added per student for state aid increases. So we did do that in the last budget. I did check all my schools, and the schools in our district did receive funding for that. Now, I don't have any problem. I think we all go down there and say our revenue caps and other changes to the formula, we've looked at those. The formula is awfully interesting when you take a look at how it works. And basically, 33% of our GPR makes up for education. As far as the voucher goes, I think more accountability needs to take place when it comes on the voucher system. I think no matter what, even if you were to do away with it, you're still going to have Racine, you're going to have Milwaukee, you're still going to have money that's going there, and there's not going to be that relief. So we do have those issues that we have to worry about. I did talk to the superintendent the other day up in the Marshfield area. I know they're going out for referendum this time, and it's really to refund, basically to keep the operation going. That's how it works from the local standpoint. And then I talked to one of the principals, and when you talk about Act 10, neither one really said anything from the standpoint of Act 10, other than it's been positive. But for the most part, it's just basically letting the teachers know that, you know, we appreciate you. My daughter's a teacher, and I can tell you, I understand what they do.
Let's move on to Nancy Stensel, the Democrat running for the 86th District.
Okay, well, we properly need to fund our public schools and our public schools first. You can talk and say that you're putting in so much money back into the public schools, but basically what you're telling me is that you stole $10 out of my wallet and you gave me $2 back. That doesn't cut it. This state has voted, the GOP has voted to drastically reduce teacher qualifications. That would make us the first state in the nation that you don't have to have a bachelor's degree to do teaching. And that is just wrong. We have voted against requiring voucher schools to comply with the American Disabilities Act, which is to say that if your child goes there, yes, you as a parent should have some say in your child's curriculum, but who knows better than your public school teacher what your child needs? And even the disabilities people are saying right out that they are not agreeing with this whatsoever. And we have pulled so much money out of like our university systems, and it's forcing layoffs is what it's doing. And when it comes to Act 10, I think it has done nothing but cripple this state beyond belief. Can it be repaired? Yes. But we need to be respected in our workplace. I think everybody goes out there every day hoping to do the best job that we can do. But it gets harder and harder when you have private schools that will come out and you get merit-based pay. And merit-based pay across the board is something, I think, if they like the look on your face, maybe you'll get a raise. Otherwise, you don't.
I want to open this up to a question as well about the UW system. And I'm going to do another round robin on that, and then we'll open it up to a short general discussion about education. The UW system has had to manage $250 million in cuts during the last budget cycle. Critics say higher education in the state has been hurt as top faculty members are retiring or looking for other places to work. There's now a proposal to increase funding by just over $42 million. Do you favor that increase? Do you think that the cuts that have been made, were they too much, too little, or just right? And wasn't there some fat that could have been cut from the UW system? We're going to start with the 86 Assembly District candidates this time, and we'll start with John Spiros. John?
When it comes down to UW, when you take a look at where we're at today, and I talked to the president of UW probably a month ago, and what they're looking for is basically a bump. I mean, I would be in favor of a bump. I'd be in favor of taking a look at what we can do. You know, fortunately, our revenues are up. We're increased by 3.8% over 2015. We have $313 million. A lot's going to deal. When it comes down to budget, you're always taking a look at what you have from a revenue standpoint. So I think that's going to be one of the important factors. But, I think that we need to take a look at UW and see what we can do. I did have a bill last time on the satellites as far as whether it's UW and Marshfield, UW Eau Claire, Stevens Point, to basically say that they shouldn't lose any funding. That didn't pass, but that was one of those things that I was trying to work on.
And let's move to let's see where we're at here. We will move to Nancy Stencil on the UW system.
Okay. Right now, our state's contribution to the UW system has been the lowest since the inception of the UW. And we have got some of the best public universities in the nation. They bring students, they bring money, they bring jobs from all over the country. And we need to fund this, not defund it. I think what we need to do in this state is shift our money, shift our priorities. We have the money. It's just where we're choosing to put it.
And we'll move to independent Mike Taushik. Mike?
Well, the UW system is going to have the same problems that our K-12 local school districts are having. Basically, when you cut the amount of money that comes from one group or one sector, which is the state, by $250 million, and you do not allow tuitions to increase, which is very similar to our revenue caps, no business can operate when your expenses increase and the amount of revenue you have coming in decreases. Eventually, you're going to have a problem. And this is going to be a problem down the road. I believe that we need to allow the tuition to increase at least the rate of inflation. The $42 million increase Yes, if the state has the money to do this, I would support it. Money is tight, I understand that, and there's only so much money to go around. My philosophy is we need to address the K-12 funding, and that's where I believe if we're limited on money, and we are limited on funds in the state, I believe that money should go to the K-12 system first, allow the tuition to increase at least the rate of inflation.
And let's move to the 85th Assembly District, Pat Snyder.
Well, when talking about the UW system, I had a good conversation with right here locally, Dr. Keith Montgomery, who was in charge of restructuring the 4 2-year schools here in northern Wisconsin. And he has done a tremendous job under his leadership. It was tough. Some administration went down, and he basically now is to the bone, to put it as simple as that. One of the reasons why that they're reaching out is, again, I talked about the population that was lost back in 2008. He says their enrollment is down. They're just not enough bodies. And he brought up to me, he said, you know, one of the biggest things that would help the UW system, and it's a great brand that it has in all educational aspects, would be a kind of like a college summit or a university summit. They had it back in 1971, but so much now you have Oshkosh, you have Green Bay, Eau Claire, Stevens Point. With the number of students going down, everyone's competing for those students. So I do believe that 40% of their income comes in from tuition, so we would have to look at allowing that tuition increase to help them stay viable.
And Mandy Wright from the 85th Assembly District.
Well, frankly, you hear a lot of pro-education rhetoric right now from Republicans in Wisconsin, but the fact is the past 6 years, Governor Walker has had the most anti-education session we've ever seen in Wisconsin, and it has significantly damaged K-12 and our UW system. We hear a lot about the four-year colleges, but right here are two-year colleges at UWMC. There are serious changes. We've lost approximately a third of staff. There are serious access issues, and we continue to see cuts at the extension, which services our rural communities with programs like 4-H and helping with farming and making sure that the best and brightest ideas are disseminated throughout our state so that everyone has access. Right here at UWMC, when we made these cuts, we made it much more difficult for first-generation students to move up the ranks and access a high-quality education. That holds back our economy. We keep talking about skills development. Well, our education system is where we need to invest if we want people to have the skills to have those jobs. Republican Governor Tommy Thompson even said for each dollar invested in the UW system, we see $7 growth in our economy. So if we want quality education, we have to invest in quality teachers and quality schools.
All right. Anybody else have anything to say on education? Make it brief. We're running out of time. If not, we'll just move on to the next topic. All right, we're going to take – oh, Mandy has something.
Well, just there's a contradiction here. You can't say that you're going to invest in private schools and public schools. We cannot fund two systems. You need to make a decision one way or the other. My opponent says he'll fund vouchers and he'll fund public schools. That's simply not possible.
Pat Snyder, you want to respond to that?
It is possible. And, again, the money follows the students. And if the parents of low income want to send their students in the 85th district – to a parochial school, I think they should have that right. There are levies in place to be able to let the public schools get this money back into their system. And to deny parents that choice, I just don't think that's right. And I do think we can have a very healthy public school system, give them what they need, and have them both.
Nancy Stensel.
I truly believe you cannot fund both without eventually having to raise taxes in some way, or you're going to have two systems of schools that are not functioning properly. I think the money needs to go into the public school system where it's doing the best, the most good. It is public schools are for everybody. They are held accountable by you and I, the taxpayer. And I don't mean this to bash anybody, but you do need a definite separation of church and state.
Mike Taushik.
Right now, the $245 million that the state is spending for voucher schools, private voucher schools, increased $15 million this year. It's going to increase for the next 9 years minimum. The percent is going to go up. I do not believe we can afford both public and the private voucher schools. We need to make a decision which we can afford. I believe that Mandy said that earlier. And I believe it should be the public education, and the citizens can choose to send their children to the private.
All right. Thanks, Mike. John Spiros.
Quite simply, it's about the child, and it's about the children, and it's about their education. I think that's what comes down. That's what this is about. And bottom line, I think that's what we're doing in the state, and that's what we'll continue to do, is do what we can for the children.
I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to a live in-studio debate with the candidates for the 85th and 86th Assembly Districts, Mandy Wright and Republican Pat Snyder from the 85th. From the 86th, we have Republican John Spiros, Democrat Nancy Stensel, and Independent Mike Taushik. We'll be back with more right after this short break.
Support for WPR comes from Hooper Corporation, supplying custom construction services, including electric power, mechanical, and green technology to commercial, industrial, and utility customers nationwide. Hooper Corporation, a Wisconsin company since 1913.
And we are back on Route 51 with our in-studio debate with the candidates for Wisconsin's 85th and 86th Assembly Districts. And we are going to move now to the question of transportation. Governor Walker recently released his transportation budget, which would not raise taxes or fees and delays current construction projects in the state. Do you agree or disagree with the governor's strategy? And is this a step in the right direction for a long-term transportation funding solution? Or do you think that the need to increase spending on infrastructure, fixing our roads and bridges, is so much of a priority that you do it even if it takes an increase in the gas tax or license plate fees? We're going to start with the candidates for the 86th this time, and we'll start with Republican John Spiros.
It's a great question. Infrastructure is huge. It's one of those things that we all know that's very important. The governor did come out with $14.6 million in general transportation aids, and I believe he increased that by $9 million to $23.6 million, an 8.6% increase over the last budget for our communities. I agree with that. Now, as far as holding basically our what we're going to borrow at $500,000, I'd like to see that be less than that. I'm not a big fan of borrowing. And then as far as stopping projects or not doing projects, I think all that has to be taken a look at. And I think when it comes down to our roads and our infrastructure, the bad thing about state government is we're looking at things in a two-year period. We have to look things down the road. And when you talk about fuel taxes and you talk about a fuel tax increase, that's not sustainable. So we've got to look at other things besides just looking at increasing taxes.
Let's move to independent Mike Taushek. Mike?
Yes. I disagree with Governor Walker, what he proposes. We're kicking the can down the road on transportation. This was probably the number one reason why I chose to get into this, running for this position. The Commission on Transportation, Finance, and Policy in 2013 came out and said, we need $580 million more just to stay where we're at. Governor or the Transportation Secretary said we need $750 million over 2 years, and that was going to borrow more money. That was we're also going to borrow more money. In 2003, we paid 7 cents for debt service in the transportation budget. 2011, it was 11.3. Today, it's 19.3 cents of every dollar of the $1.8 billion in the transportation budget just to pay debt service. We're borrowing our way into a hole that we're going to, when we finally decide we're going to fix it, is going to be very painful. Do I increase or believe we need to increase revenue? Yes. There is no way we can give enough money back to the local communities without funding it. The problem is if we increase gas or fuel tax 5 cents, we're only going to bring in $165 million. That's 40% of what we borrowed, the $425 million. Last time around. So we need to increase revenue.
Let's move on to Democrat Nancy Stensel. Nancy?
Well, I definitely do believe in indexing the gas tax on going up like approximately a nickel. I believe we could at least make a start in some of the things we have to do. That alone definitely is not going to help. We need to bring back our local control. The party of local control has done everything but we need to raise those caps. And the Wisconsin Farmers Union has suggested, too, that any monies that come into that transportation budget, half of them should be coming back to our local municipalities. And I would agree with that. I think that's important because we have the big projects in the bottom of the state which are doing much for truck traffic, which is important to our economy, but it's doing very little for you and I in our average daily commute. And we're paying the price in the potholes and everything else. My opponent works on the transportation field, and I'm wondering how he is able to do this job satisfactorily without being a conflict of interest. And as far as our registration fees, I think eventually down the road we're going to have to start looking at raising them.
And let's move to the 85th District. We start with Mandy Wright for this question.
Need to see accountability for the people who have put us in this hole in the last 6 years. We've had all Republican control at the state level, and we're looking at projected, according to Senator Petrowski, who is chair of transportation in the Senate, 25% bonding. So for every dollar that's spent on transportation, 25% will go to paying off debt. That is unbelievably fiscally irresponsible. Right now, it's left to local municipalities to raise fees, so we have a patchwork of transportation, which is clearly not sustainable. In addition, we have the public transit issue in Wausau, which is incredibly important. We need regional transit authorities back so that we can save our public transit system, which is set to close within the next 4 to 5 years. Republicans on this issue outlawed regional transit authorities. They have been obstructionist. They need to be held accountable. If you want transportation fixes, you need to vote for Democrats.
And finally, Pat Snyder.
Well, we got to go back to prior to 2010. We had the gas indexing, which was working, but unfortunately, Governor Doyle and the administration raided that to pay other departments. So that brought up the constitutional amendment, which said all transportation funding would stay in transportation. It also took away the indexing, unfortunately. When I've been to the doors and talked with the voters, they, for the most part, would be in favor of a small increase in the state gasoline tax, knowing that it would go right to the roads. And I know the governor has come out. We've got an audit for the Department of Transportation due in November. We also will be looking at more local revenue coming in for the roads. That's important. Everything's on the table. The one thing I would like to see if there's an increase in the sales tax for gas is to maybe have a sunset, pay down the debt on the bonds, and then because we service over $240 million a year just on that, let's pay that down and pay it, get rid of it, and move on from there.
And we are completely out of time. And we have a lot of questions that I wanted to get to that we didn't get to. We do want to thank today's guests, the candidates for Wisconsin's 85th Assembly District, Democrat Mandy Wright and Republican Pat Snyder, and the candidate for Wisconsin's 86th Assembly District, incumbent Republican John Spiros, Democrat Nancy Stensel, and independent Michael Tauschek. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer and production assistants, Janice Schleiss and Eli Frieders. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Next week, we feature a debate between the candidates for Northern Wisconsin's 34th Assembly District, incumbent Republican Rob Swearingen and Democrat Matt Michelson, moderated by Ken Kroll of WXPR Radio Rhinelander. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin, and until next week, we're heading out of town.